The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
The term emotional intelligence has been batted around, gaining more attention over the last couple of years. But what really is it? And is it as important in our lives as traditional intelligence? Well, apparently it is, and it impacts every aspect of our lives. In a world of smartphones, less face-to-face contact and Zoom calls, are we losing some of it? Joining me now is the person who's literally written the book on it, emotional intelligence and human behaviour expert, Amy Jacobson. Thanks for being on The West Live, Amy.
It's my absolute pleasure. Ben, thanks for having me.
Okay, so we hear a lot about people in society lacking emotional intelligence. What is it exactly?
So your emotional intelligence is very much about how and why you do things. So your intelligence or your IQ is that technical side. It's your ability to understand something. Your emotional intelligence is how you actually communicate it, what your emotions are around it, the impact that you have on the people around you, and how well you can actually control your emotional reactions in that point in time.
And so how do you know if you are lacking in this regard, and how can that impact your life?
So lacking in emotional intelligence, look, probably first if I clarify, when we talk about emotionally intelligent people, there's not so much people walking around who we would say, okay, they are emotionally intelligent. I teach this kind of stuff, and there are still going to be moments throughout every day or week or month where my emotional intelligence gets tested as well. What emotional intelligence is actually about is being self-aware and being able to recognize when certain things happen, how to actually approach them and how to best handle a situation. So those people that don't have a lot of emotional intelligence skills, or they're not applying their emotional intelligence in the right situations, are going to find that the outcomes that are occurring in situations may not be what they were hoping for, or the reaction from people around them is not going to be what they're hoping for, and we really lose sight of that success and that outcome.
So here's a current example. So the Virgin CEO talked about reopening borders and getting international flights started, and she said that it might mean a few people die, and she was obviously criticised pretty viciously for that comment. Would that be an example of a statement that is maybe lacking in emotional intelligence?
Yes, absolutely. And look, I'm sure she's reflected on that and thought, that is not what I meant to come out. It happened really quickly, and she's probably thought about it since and would say it very differently. But that is a perfect example of how our emotional intelligence does not filter what is coming out of our mouth first, and the impact of those words on people around her. So I'm sure she knew the communication, the method, and the message that she wanted to actually occur. But when she went to do it, something came out differently, which means it totally influenced probably everything that she said in that statement, not just that line, because people have taken the emotional undertone of what she said and they've straight away reacted in their mindset and their behaviour and made an opinion up based on her and also on her communication.
Yeah, totally derailed whatever message she was trying to get across. And now, what I like about your book, it's called Emotional Intelligence, A Simple and Actionable Guide to Increasing Performance, Engagement and Ownership, is that word actionable, because it's really a how-to guide. And so I'm curious to know, what are the 5 steps to becoming more emotionally intelligent?
Yep, so the 5 parts of emotional intelligence that I detail in the book are around own it, face it, feel it, ask it, and drive it. And these 5 steps align perfectly to the very first definition that came out on emotional intelligence that is out there at the moment by Daniel Goleman. But what we find is exactly what you said, Ben, is that there's some amazing books out there, and it's great to sit down and read them, but they have a very scientific feel to them. And when you finish reading the book, there's this missing gap between, well, how do I take what I've read in this book and actually apply it day to day in what I'm doing? And that's when we're looking at, you know, that first step around own it is really owning who you are, owning, you know, all of the decisions and priorities that you've had in your life that have got you to where you are right now, and facing your greatest fears and being able to face the emotional response that you have and triggers that you have in situation and how they impact the people around you. But within each of those 5 areas, we talk about some really simple 1%er actions that you can instantly put into play to be able to start working on that emotional intelligence.
And what are some of those 1%ers? Because that's probably where you need to pitch it at me. I need the easy stuff.
All right, here we go. Here's some nice, easy two things that I would say to people are your nice, easiest thing to take out of. The first one is the power of the pause. There is nothing more powerful than actually pausing in what we're doing and pausing in our mind and listening for a while. And the way that our minds and our brains have actually been programmed since we were tiny little babies, when we were first babies, we were encouraged to talk, right? So we're constantly looking for, you know, what to say and what to, and how to say it and to keep on talking. And what happens when we actually pause, when we practice the ability to be able to pause and be comfortable with silence, is that we go further into our subconscious mind. And the people we're communicating with also go further into their subconscious mind. So if you're having a conversation with somebody, Ben, and you ask a question and then you pause for long enough, not just for them to answer the very first part of your question, but really continue to pause, you will learn more about the people around you than you can ever imagine. And it would take it into that more substance level. So, for example, if you say to someone, "Hi, how are you?" and their instant response is "Good." But then if you're able to pause and just wait, they'll actually tell you how they really are, where good was just a response from their conscious mind that just came straight out without them even thinking about it.
It works pretty well as a journalist as well, I can tell you. If you give people just a little bit more space to talk, it's amazing the things that they'll say sometimes. But a lot of listeners will be thinking, you know, how can this benefit me? How can, you know, I be more emotional intelligent and get some benefit from it? Can it help you in the workplace?
Yes. So the whole reason I wrote this book, so I actually do specialize in emotional intelligence and human behavior in the workplace. That is, you know, the one area that I really focus on, or that specific niche. However, once I wrote the book and handed it over to Wiley, the publishers, they came back to me straight away and said, "Amy, there's so much to take away from this from an outside of work point of view." And if we really look at it, Ben, I mean, humans, doesn't matter whether you're in the workplace or you're outside of work, if you're at home, you're around family, friends, wherever it is, when you are interacting as a human with anybody else, emotional intelligence is what determines whether that interaction will be successful or not. So this book, while it is designed specifically for the workplace, the actual benefits of it that are coming back to me, where I'm hearing people say, "Wow, this is working on my kids, this is working with my partner, this is changing my home life or my friend life, because now all of a sudden I get it. Like, I understand them and I understand what makes them tick."
And is it something you can use to say, you know, communicate with your boss to improve that relationship, to improve relationships with your colleagues in the workplace?
Yes. So in the workplace is where we see the actual drop of emotional intelligence. And that is really because when we walk into the workplace, the number one thing that we're focusing on is our IQ. It's our technical skills. It's what industry we're in and what we're actually doing. However, you can have the highest level of IQ and be the most technical person in the office or in the department or organization. But if you don't know how to communicate with other people and how to deliver that message and how to connect with their emotional needs, then your technical and IQ is absolutely pointless. You're not going to get to the end result that you're looking for. And that's just the same thing with customers as well. Every industry is designed to satisfy human need. And if you are not connecting with your customers through emotional intelligence, then you're absolutely missing the point of it. You're delivering a product and that is it.
And you mentioned at home as well, these are something that you should have in your toolbox. Can you use it to, I guess, you know, get your kids to do what you want?
Yes, you can, unless you're me and my kids have learned way too much about emotional intelligence.
The student has become the master.
Yeah, that's right. I do get the odd statement from my daughter saying either, "Mom, that wasn't very emotionally intelligent," or, "Mom, I see what you're doing here, but not today, thanks." So, yes, you can. Like, the whole relationship between parents and children, and especially children that are going through those times in their teenage years as well, where their emotions are going crazy. So there's so many, whether it's hormones, whether it's pressures, whether it's, you know, just the bullying or the different environment they're growing up in, the pressures that are coming into their emotional intelligence and finding it really hard for them to be able to control the triggers and how they respond to different situations. This is when emotional intelligence becomes so important. If we can get it right in those teenage years, we're embedding the right values and the right beliefs, and we're getting the right triggers actually aligned to the right neurological response. So I really encourage it for anyone who's a parent or anyone that's around teenagers especially. It's a great thing to get on top of.
Amy, it seems like the takeaway is here. Buy your book, read it, get all these tools. Just whatever you do, don't let your kids read it.
Perfect. I love that summary, Ben.
Emotional intelligence and human behaviour expert Amy Jacobson, so great to have you back on the West Live. Thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Ben.